Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Amen. And I like that song the choir sang. I'll glory in the cross. That's the only thing we have to glory in, isn't it? Is the cross of the Lord Jesus. Without him, where would we be tonight? Well, I want to say it's a joy to be back once again here at Calvary and Baptist Church. And I've been coming over here for a number of years. I missed last year. I think one out of 18 years, not too bad, I don't guess. But the Lord knows all about that. And as many of you know, and I want to just say before I preach tonight, I appreciate Calvary Baptist Church. I appreciate you praying for me. And 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with an incurable kidney disease. And my life changed here back a few months ago. I've been on dialysis now for several months. And I get on dialysis every night. And while most people sleeping, I'm doing dialysis trying to stay alive. And sometimes the Lord lets me sleep while I'm doing it. And then sometimes I have to get up and talk to that machine. And me and my wife together, we fuss at it and kick it a time or two, and it gets to working. And so anyway, that's where we're at. I tell people that, you know, I'm kind of like some of these ball players. I can still bat a little bit. I just can't run the bases anymore. And you pray for us tonight. I'm not near as strong as I used to be. I told the Lord the other day that me and him's going to have to get together on something. And he's either going to have to give me strength to preach, or he's going to have to take the desire out of my heart. The desire hasn't died yet, Brother T.D. And I still love to preach. And I tell people I'm just in the Lord's hands, and we preachers, I'm going to preach in a minute. I'm trying to get my nerve up. But we preachers, we know how to say all the right things. We know how to talk the talk. But I found out in the last couple of years there's a lot of difference in talking the talk and walking the walk. I know how to talk it. I grew up and was taught how to talk it. But God's letting me learn how to walk it. And it's kind of difficult at times, but me and the Lord's having a good time. We're having a good time. But you pray for us tonight. I don't have a Jubilee message. All I have is what God put on my heart to preach. And so I'm going to just try to bring what God has impressed upon my heart tonight. And I trust it'll be a blessing. And I trust it'll be a help. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Job, chapter number 1. And I want to read a few verses, and then we'll bring the message. Let's pray and ask God to add his blessing to his word. Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege to be back one more time here at Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity one more time to open your word before your people. Now, Lord, I'd just soon go home now than to be a failure, Lord, for you. The desire of my heart, Lord, is to share that you put in my heart to preach. You know the need of every heart and every life in this place. And Lord, no doubt there are people here tonight that need to hear, thus saith the word of God. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll use me tonight in these next few minutes. Lord, help me to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as I preach. Lord, I yield myself to you the best that I know how. I trust that you'll strengthen me tonight. Give me spiritual power, physical strength, Lord, to preach the word of God tonight. And I pray that when the invitation is given, Lord, if there are people here that have spiritual needs in their heart and in their life, Lord, that they'd come and do business with you tonight. Have your will and way. When everything's been said and done, Lord, I pray that we will have brought honor and glory to the name of the Lord Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Job chapter number 1, verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. That's reading to you tonight, verses 1 through 12 of the first chapter of the book of Job. Let me just say at the beginning tonight, it's not my intention to preach another exposition of the life of Job, but I do have a desire tonight to take some practical things from this man's life and try to identify them with you and I tonight. And I trust that we can get something from the Word of God that'll be a help to us. But I want to preach for a few minutes on this man, Job. The man, Job. I want to mention 3 things briefly tonight. If you'll pray for us, I won't be long. I asked Brother Snyder how long he wanted me to preach, and he told me just let the Lord have his way for about 15 minutes. but no. Honestly, he told me to preach till I got through. And what I told him was, it don't take me long to get through nowadays. I don't have strength to preach like I used to. But anyway, I want to just share some simple things with you about the life of this man Job tonight. And I said, it's not my intention to go back through all the details of the life of Job, but I just want to mention some things tonight. I believe there's very few people, if any, could ever be compared to Job. And the trials and the things that took place in Job's life, I've never met anyone that could compare with Job from what I've read in the scriptures, though there's a lot of similarities of things in his lives that you and I can identify with tonight. I want to look first of all for a few moments tonight at the testimony of Job. I believe Job was a man tonight that had a testimony. I believe every Christian ought to have a testimony tonight. Your testimony tonight is important. Job, as we read the verses that I read to you tonight, gives us somewhat of the description of Job's testimony. For instance, I believe Job was a dedicated man. If you look in verse number 1, the Bible said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. Job was a man, I believe, that believed in living right. The Bible said he was perfect and upright. Now, does that mean that he was sinless, that he lived sinless perfection? I don't believe there's any person that's ever lived in a life of sinless perfection outside of the Lord Jesus himself. But I do believe that Job lived in such a way that people couldn't point their finger at him and blame him. And I believe you and I tonight as Christians, we can't live perfect. But I do believe that as a Christian, we can live blameless. We can have a testimony that we live blameless before this world in which we live. Job was a man, I believe, was dedicated unto the Lord. He believed in living right. The Bible said that he walked upright and perfect in his generation. The Bible teaches us not only was he a dedicated man, but Job was a separated man. The Bible said that he was one that was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job was a man that I believe that shunned evil. That word eschewed means to shun. And we got too many people in our day running after sin instead of running away from it. And can you remember a time when a Christian used to believe in living separated from this world? That was before the world got so much like the world. I said we missed the concept that Jesus left the church. Jesus left the church in this world in order to influence this world. He commissioned the church and left the church a job to do, and that is to influence this world toward the Lord Jesus. But I'm afraid today that the world has influenced the church far more than the church has influenced the world. We're far more like the world tonight than the world is like us. Well, let me move on off of that point. I hadn't even got into it yet good, and I can tell, you know, when you, as the old saying goes, when you're barking up the wrong tree. Most people nowadays are happy the way they are, and they don't want to be bothered. Amen. But Job was a man who lived dedicated to the Lord. He was a man that lived separated unto the Lord. He shunned evil. The Bible said he was a man that feared God. I was thinking about that word feared. Job feared the Lord. I don't believe that he lived his life wringing his hands, living on the brink of a nervous breakdown, afraid God was going to hit him in the head and kill him. I don't believe that's the kind of fear he had. I remember when I was growing up, Brother T.D., I grew up in that generation where my daddy didn't know anything about timeout. He didn't know anything at all about timeout. It wasn't go to your room and think about that for a while. I grew up in that generation of knockout. Lay there and think about that for a while. I remember growing up when I was a little boy. I did everything my daddy told me to do because I was afraid not to, Brother Wayne. I knew that I better do what my daddy told me to do. If I didn't do it, I'd pay the price. I grew up in the days when they still had woodsheds back in those days. But I reached a certain age in my life that I grew out of that fear. And my fear changed. Brother Snyder, I can remember doing everything my daddy wanted me to do because I was afraid of the consequences if I didn't. But I remember when I become grown and more mature, that I lived in fear of my dad because I was afraid that I would do something that would dishonor him or displease him. It's far more important to me to obey him and do what I knew he wanted me to do. There was a reverent type fear. And I believe that's the kind of fear Job had. Job feared doing something that would dishonor the Lord and displease God. Job was a man that was dedicated. He was a man that was separated. And then he was a man that was vindicated. I'm talking about Job's testimony. You know who testified for Job? Think about it. I read it to you a moment ago. The Lord testified for Job. The day when the sons of God came before the Lord, Satan was among them. The Lord said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I've just been down there in the earth going to and fro, doing as I please." In other words, I hadn't found anybody that's opposed me. I'd just been doing anything I wanted to do. The Lord said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in all the earth? He's one that's perfect and upright. He's one that escheweth evil. He's one that fears God." Job's testimony was the Lord said the same thing about him that the writer of Job said in verse 1. Now, I don't know about you. The Lord, in essence, said, "Let me tell you what I know about Job. Let me just tell you, devil, what I know about Job. He's a man that lives right. He's a man that shuns evil and walks upright. Then he's one that fears God." I'm not so sure that I'd want the Lord to tell everything he knows about me. But Job lived in such a way that the Lord could testify for him. You and I tonight ought to have a testimony. We ought to live in such a way that we wouldn't be ashamed for the Lord to testify for us. That's something to think about, isn't it? Y'all just bear with me. I can't preach as fast as I used to. I have to stop and slow down and get my breath more often than I used to. But Job had a testimony. Then I want you to see for a moment Job's trial. Job had a trial. Job, I read to you in the verses that I read to you, that Job was a rich man. He was a man of wealth. He had everything going for him. Verse number 3 tells us all that he had. In the latter part of verse 3 said he was the greatest man of the East. But Job's trial, first of all, was unexpected. Job was minding his own business. He had health, wealth, and happiness. He had everything life could afford him. He couldn't ask for more. But it all changed in a moment's notice. I mean, it all changed in a flash. You've heard the saying, what a difference a day makes. Job could write a book about that, couldn't he? Of all the things that took place in Job's life in a day's time, what a difference a day makes. In fact, what a difference a phone call can make. What a difference that Job's trial made in his life. Trials can come without warning, without any notice. You can find your life upside down. You can find your life coming apart at the seams. Life has a way, the trials that come in our life have a way of coming to us unexpectedly. Job's trial was unexpected. Job's trial was unprecedented. You ever met anyone that suffered like Job? Think about it. Think about the material adversity that Job suffered. He was a wealthy man. He was a rich man. Now, I'm not going to go through all these verses, but as you know, he lost it all. Yes, sir. Fella come running in. Said, let me tell you something. The oxen and the asses were feeding, but they're all gone. I'm the only one survived. Time he got through talking, another comes in. Tells him all the sheep are burned up. Before he gets through another, I mean just one right after another. And then one comes in and tells him that his children are gone. He lost all of his children. And you think about the material adversity that he suffered, the loss of all of his possessions, and then the mental anguish that he must have experienced at the death of his children. I can't imagine. I can't get my mind. I read these verses. I've read these verses hundreds of times. It's easy just to read through these verses of what happened to Job. It's just like it's nothing. I've met some people over the years that I've pastored that has lost everything they had. I've pastored some people that's gone through bankruptcy, lost everything they had. I've pastored some people that their homes have been burned up, and they've lost every possession. All they got out with was the clothes on their back and their life. And they watched everything they had go up in smoke. I followed many a person in these 48 years of preaching and pastoring to the cemetery as they said goodbye to a loved one. The hardest experiences that I've ever had as a pastor is when somebody loses a child. I preached funerals of 3 months old, 3 years old, 6 years old. One of the most vivid memories I have is one of our members, a little six-year-old, died of cystic fibrosis. I watched that little old girl draw her last breath. I saw her mom and dad, Brother Wayne, get down at the casket at the cemetery and put her favorite teddy bear in that casket and kiss that little old girl goodbye and say, "Honey, we'll see you again in the morning." Just tore my heart out. But I can't imagine somebody lose their whole family, lose all their kids at one time. Can you comprehend? I mean, that's not supposed to be. It's not natural for parents to bear their children. Brother T.D. and Joy can testify to that. There's no pain like it. Job was a man, his trial was unprecedented. He lost all of his possessions. He lost his family, his children. And then in addition to all of that, he lost his health. He lost his health. Let me tell you something. It's not fun to lose your health. Job was a man, as I said, had everything going for him. Everything was wonderful. But his life got turned upside down. It's not easy. A phone call turned my life upside down. About 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. My life's never been the same. Brother T.D., I was minding my own business. I was planning on preaching and pastoring for a while longer. Yeah. Right. I know some of Floyd Road was a lot tireder of me than I was of them, but, you know. But some of them had little enough sense to come over here tonight and listen to me again after hearing me for 29 years. When you hear somebody preach for 29 years, you heard all their jokes, all their illustrations, heard all their sermons 4 or 5 times. But, I just thought, you know, I thought I was fine. That doctor called and said, "We got something wrong. You got an abnormal blood reading. I need to send you to a kidney specialist." In my world, it turned upside down. They put me in the hospital, did a biopsy on my kidneys, and diagnosed me with incurable disease. Doctor said, you got about 2 years. I made it for about 2 years and 5 months, or 6 months, about 2.5 years. I mean, he was wrong about 6 months. Life has a way of coming at you unexpectedly. Trials, and Job's trial was unprecedented. I've never met anyone that's gone through all that Job. And then on top of that, on top of the fact that Job's trial was unexpected and it was unprecedented, it was unexplained. You see, this is easy for me to stand up here and preach to you what I'm preaching tonight. I can tell you all about Job because God told us, but he never told Job. When Job was in the middle of that trial and when his life was coming apart at the seams, God never told him why he was doing it. God never said, Job, I'm doing this to silence the devil. God never gave Job the luxury of understanding why it was going on in his life. I wish I knew why. I don't know why. I may never know why, Brother Snyder. I may say, well, when you get to heaven, we're going to understand it by and by. When I get to heaven, I won't give a flip about understanding. It ain't going to matter to me. I ain't going to worry about that. When I get to heaven, my trials are going to be behind me. I'm not going to dig them up and figure out and dissect them and analyze them. I'm going to be shouting victory on the other side. Job never had the luxury of understanding why all this was happening to him. God kept him in the dark. He had to trust God. I wish I could tell you what's going on in your life tonight. I wish I could tell you why that you're going through the trial that you're in, why you're experiencing what you're experiencing, but I can't tell you that. You may not ever know. You may not ever know. But that brings me to my third point tonight. Job had a testimony. Job had a trial, but Job had a triumph. Job was a victor. The way that you react to your trials determine whether you're a victor or a victim. Are you listening? How we react. And we're all flesh. We're all made out of human flesh. What did Job do when his trial came? What did he do? How did he react? Well, look in verse 20. All these previous verses tell one heartache after another as part of Job's trial. You get to verse 20, then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and moaned and groaned and complained. No, it said he worshiped. He worshiped. Now listen, I'm not standing up here tonight looking down my nose as though I'm some 10 foot tall. I live in the same house of flesh that you do. And when your life comes apart at the seams and your world is turned upside down, the first thing you want to do is not worship. That's the first thing Job did. I don't know, Brother Dan, I found out I'm not near the man Job was. Well, I walked around self-pity for the first 30 days. Just trying to get my breath and digest it all. Why me, Lord? It's kind of like the Lord said, well, why not? Job worshiped. He ran to the Lord instead of running away from the Lord. Now let's back up for a moment. Job lost all of his possessions. I've pastored people as long as everything's wonderful. Man, they're on the mountaintop. They say on the front row, shout the victory and holler, amen. But you let the storm come. They lose their job or lose their home, lose their possessions, and they get mad at God and everybody. It just does them in. Job, I didn't mention this a moment ago, but do you know that Job, he lost all of his possessions. He lost his children. He lost his health. And then his wife turned on him. She said, you mean to tell me that you're still going to retain your integrity? You mean to tell me you're still going to honor God after the way He's treated you? Why don't you curse God and die? That's the thing about this today, Brother Wayne. I'm going to tell you something. There's been some times in the last 2 years that I've been low enough to quit. And all it would have took, Brother Snyder, would have been for my wife to have agreed with me. But you know what? Nearly 50 years ago, when that woman took me by the hand and said, for better or for worse, she's proved herself. She's picked me up when I've been down the last 2 years. When everything within me wanted to quit, she's been an encouragement to me, stood by me. I spent 5 days in the hospital, 3 days in the ICU, hanging by a thread. She wouldn't leave me. They let her in 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes at night. Them the longest, I'm telling you, Brother Jimmy, them the longest days I ever spent in my life. In that ICU, and you get a 30-minute visit in the morning and 30-minute visit in the evening. I said, you need to go home and get some rest. You can't come back till tonight. Just go. She wouldn't leave. Never took her clothes off. Stayed there in the hospital 5 days with me. Never left. If I'd have had a wife like Job, I know a lot of folks that's bit the dust because their companion let them down when they needed them the most. I know some preachers that have bit the dust because they had a wife like Job. What do you do when your trial comes? Do you run away from the Lord or do you run to the Lord? Job turned to the Lord and worshiped. He didn't give the devil any credit. He didn't whine around, complain about how bad things were and look what the devil's doing to me. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. He didn't say the Lord gave and the devil has taken away. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I don't have any sad reports. I don't have any negative sentences to say about Jesus or about the Lord. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord is taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That word blessed comes from the same word we get the word eulogy. You know what a eulogy is, don't you? It's when somebody dies and somebody eulogizes them. That means they get up and say a bunch of good things about them. Well, that's what old Job said when he'd lost everything he had. He'd lost his health. He'd lost his children and his wife and everything. He lost it all. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. I just want to eulogize the Lord for a while. I just want to say good things about the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job's love was not conditional. His love was not conditional. It wasn't based on the Lord doing anything. You say, preacher, how could Job be the richest man in the East, have all the things, the blessings that he had, and then lose it all? How could he still love God? How could he still stay with somebody, the Lord? How could that be? I'll tell you how. Job never became occupied. Are you listening? Job never became occupied with what he had. He was only occupied with who he had. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is better. Job knew that philosophy. His love was not conditional. You remember them three Hebrews? They said to the old king, they said, O king, be it known unto thee that our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us, O king. Do you know what that next statement, that verse says? He said, but if not, be it known, we're still not going to bow. Our God whom we serve is able, and we believe he will. But if he don't, we're still not going to bow. I'm going to tell you, it was a blessed day in my life. It wasn't easy to come by. I said earlier, I know how to say all the right things, Brother T.D., because I'm a preacher. I've heard a lot of preaching, read a lot of books, read the Bible, and heard a lot of teaching. So I know how to talk the language and know how to. But I want to tell you, blessed day in my life. When I was diagnosed, and there's been thousands of people, there's been people all up and down this country. I got a text this morning from a fellow that I hadn't heard from in years in Newport, Tennessee. He said, Brother Berman, just wanted you to know that you was a big part of our prayer meeting this morning, that we prayed for you. I've had people all over this country, people I don't know, thanks to internet and social media and all this stuff, even Facebook. Facebook. Well, it ought to be used for something good. And I've had people all over the place pray for me. I said, Lord, brother, I'm telling you, Brother Tom, blessed day in my life. A few months ago, when I come to the place, I said, Lord, I know that you could touch me. I know you could give me two good kidneys just in the snap of your finger. You made these bodies and you could fix it just like that. Wouldn't be no trouble for you at all. And Lord, I sure do wish you would. I'm not through preaching yet. I'm not through pastoring yet. I want to serve a while longer. I want to live a while longer, Lord. And Lord, I just wished you would so bad. I know you're able. But then I said, but Lord, if you don't. If you don't, I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to tell people how good you are. And I didn't want to say that in case I wasn't sure I could mean that, Brother T.D. I'm going to tell you something. I've had more emotions in the last 2 years. I've been through some of the highest highs that you could ever imagine and through some of the lowest lows. I've experienced every emotion known to man. I've even been mad at God. I've even questioned God. Huh? I'm just being honest with you. You did want me to come down here and be honest with you, didn't you? Well, don't need me to come all the way down here and lie. I'm just telling you, I'm human. I've been through every emotion known to man. But me and God's got everything all settled. I'm going to tell you, if I don't ever make it back to Chattanooga, I'm going to tell you, if I don't ever see the sun come up in the morning, I'll see the sun come up on the other side. Amen. And it's settled. It's settled. I'm not ready to go, but I'm prepared to go. God's been working me over. He's been working me over to bring me to this place. Job's lost it all. Let me share this, and I'm gonna quit with this. Job had lost everything he had. Look in verse 7. So Satan went forth from the presence of Job, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Now back over here in verse 5. I lost it there for a moment. Back over there in verse 5, when Job offered those burnt offerings, it said, thus did Job continually. Job had been to that altar time and time and time again. He took the best of his flock, Brother Wayne, and give God the best that he had on that altar. But it said that Job sat down among the ashes. You know what I believe that meant? Job come back to that altar that he'd spent so many times before at, offering up the best. And he said, God, I ain't got nothing now. I've lost it all. And I'm all I've got. Don't have no sheep. Don't have no oxen. Don't have no possessions. It's just me, Lord. Just me. Job sat out on that, he sat on that altar in that pile of ashes. It don't say in them verses, but we preachers are bad about reading between the lines. I believe God looked over heaven, his balcony, said, I'm pleased with him now. That's what I've been after all along, is just him. God don't care about our stuff. God don't care about stuff. He just cares about us. He just wants us. I want to tell you something. I don't know how much time we got left. I believe it was D.L. Moody that said one time, that somebody asked him what he believed was the key to the success he'd had in the ministry. He said, I've tried to give God all there is to have of D.L. Moody. I'm at the point where I want God to have all there is to have of Berman Cape. But when he has you, he's got enough. He's got enough. I wonder tonight, I don't know if Brother Snyder wants me to give an invitation or he wants to come give an invitation. But you know what I believe? If the truth be known, there's people right here in this building tonight that's got situations in your life. You've got trials. You've got troubles. I don't know too many people that don't have trials and troubles. This is the real world that we live in. And there may be somebody here tonight that you've prayed and you've pleaded and you've begged God to take care of this, or to solve that, or to fix this, or fix that, or even fix you. I wonder if there's people in this building tonight that's struggling with situations and trials in your life that'll just come and say, God, I know you're a big God. I know you're able to fix whatever's wrong in my life. I know you're able to solve it. I know you're able to take care of it. But Lord, I just want you to know, if you don't, I'm going to keep loving you. I'm going to keep serving you. God wants our willingness. And God knows when we're honest with him and when we're just talking. Why don't you let God do a work in your heart tonight? Let God fix whatever's wrong in your life. You can't bargain with God. God, if you'll do this, I'll do it. No, God is God. God is God. Why don't you come recommit your life to him? I'm going to serve him. I'm going to live for him no matter what. I'm determined, folks. I'm going to finish this course that I started all those years ago. I may not go running across the finish line. Somebody may have to drag me across, but I want to go. I want to cross that finish line for the glory of God. I'm like I heard a brother Roloff told a story back during the Civil War. I don't remember what battle it was. I was in the car one day and heard Brother Roloff telling this story. This has been years ago. Back during the Civil War, he said they'd had a bloody battle, and about all of the men had been wounded. They were worn out, tired, and tattered. And said, the old captain said, I can't ask you to go any further and fight any longer. He said, if you want to quit, it's fine. I won't feel bad at you if you want to quit. But if anybody's willing to go on, step across this line. And he drew a line. He said, there's a few stepped across the line, This old fella couldn't walk. He's bloody, beaten and tattered. And he said, would somebody please drag me across the line? Brother T.D., I'm going to cross this line. Somebody may have to drag me across. But I intend to die on the right side of the line. We're living in a world when Christians are giving up, falling by the wayside. But if there's ever been a time, we need to dig in and get new determination and new grace to keep going. It's today. Let's stand to our feet. Father, take the message. May the Holy Spirit apply it to the hearts in this place that need it the most. Help people to obey you tonight. There's people here tonight that need Jesus that's never trusted him as Savior. I pray they'll come tonight, give their heart and life to you. Help somebody to do it tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Search me, oh God,
as we sing.
And know my heart today. Try me, oh Savior, know my thoughts, I pray.
Sing another verse while these are praying tonight.